WAIF as a community radio station serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or Board of Trustees. They reflect Chris and Rob's views or the views of their guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. And now, grinding sacred cows into Radio Hamburger, here's your hosts, the two and only Chris and Rob, starring in the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. To be on tonight's program, call now, 749-1444. Or if you're calling from outside the 275 loop, put a 513 before it and call 513-749-1444. And make sure to check out Chris and Rob on the internet at CincinnatiAtlas.com. And now, finally, here's Chris and Rob.
This is Chris and Rob, late night talk show, WAIF Cincinnati. The guy making guttural noises would be Chris. I am the more eloquent, the more brilliant Rob. And thanks a lot for joining us. There's no place that you would rather be on a Tuesday evening than tuned in to WAIF Cincinnati, especially on this particular Tuesday evening. Fingers crossed, but we're hoping to be joined in perhaps a half hour, maybe an hour, by Reverend Bob Larson. He is a warrior for the wounded, and he is one of, if not the leading exorcist in the country today. He's performed dozens and dozens of exorcists. He has helped hundreds of people struggling with demons, and Bob Larson gave a boffo performance tonight at a church on North Bend Road. I think it was just called College Hill Church.
The Church of College Hill.
The Church of College Hill, and I went there. I was running late because I'm the showbiz type, and you know how we are, like Bill Clinton, we're always late. So I show up about 15, 20 minutes late. I cannot get within 4 blocks of the place.
Wait, four miles? I heard it was 4 miles. You couldn't find a parking place for 4 mile radius around that church.
And there was another church right down the road, maybe 4 blocks down the road. I was going to park there. Their parking lot was jammed. I don't know.
With all those demons being expelled, they would have left open a few parking places? But no.
No, there's no one there, so you had to be a real professional like Chris to get there on time. And Chris, you were there, and what did you see? What happened?
Well, Bob came out, a brief introduction, and then all heck broke loose. Literally, all heck broke loose.
Was it heck or was it hell?
Because
he deals with the demons of hell. He doesn't deal with the demons of heck.
I guess you could go out on a limb in this case and say that all H-E double toothpicks broke loose.
And you're not talking figuratively. You mean literally Satan unleashed the demons of hell.
Well, the first thing Bob says is he comes out and he says to the audience, he says, people ask me why I exorcise demons to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
As if, you know, as opposed to, you know, lay people who might need it worse. Mm-hmm. And then he laughs and he says, I'm not that stupid. I'm going to expel the demons right here in the Christian church. And then he goes on to tell all the congregation.
So he's saying it'd be more dangerous if he went to a strip club and did this, or a rock concert or something. Okay.
Then he says to the congregation to look inside themselves to the most painful moment or one of the most painful moments in their life, and to think about it, and to think about the hurt, and the pain, and the anger, and on and on.
Okay.
And the next thing you know, people are screaming. People are literally on the ground, screaming. And it was like in some of the videos, if you've ever seen one of Bob Larson's videos, or on the radio even, when he'll do, we've got a tape here of some of Bob's most famous exorcisms from his radio program. We'll play some of those. Bob Larson is scheduled and expected to show up here at WAIF, the Chris and Rob Show, momentarily, but he might still be up at that church in College Hill.
Well,
when I left, they weren't done. I mean, they were still going to town.
Well, Chris, as you know, when Bob Larson hooks up with a particularly nasty demon, it can go on, and there is no TV time limit like you wrestling fans think there are. There is no 3-minute rounds and 15 rounds, and then a winner's declared. No, when Bob Larson, the warrior for the wounded, hooks up with one of these demons, it goes on until it's over with, and it can take 10 minutes, it can take 20 minutes, it can take 30 minutes. Bob Larson has fought with demons for hours. He's fought with demons for up to 10 to 12 hours at a time. So if Reverend Larson does not make it here tonight, we'll certainly understand. But we hope that the demons that he's wrestling with right now are not those steroid-fed, crazed androdiastine demons, but we hope they're just general White Castle-eating weak demons.
Now, they're doing this again tomorrow night. It's at the Church of College Hill.
Get there early.
2129 North Bend Road, not far from Hamilton Avenue. If you're going up Hamilton Avenue, you turn left at Kroger's. The Church of College Hill, 2129 North Bend, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And if it's half what it was tonight, you're in for a treat.
Get there by 6:30.
And like I said, once Bob told people to start looking inside themselves and confronting their own demons, people were screaming. There was one guy started pushing on Bob, and a couple big guys had to hold him back. This guy was twice Bob's size, probably twice his strength. This guy could have played linebacker for not a crappy team like the Bengals, but like a good team like the Vikings. This guy could have been one of their linebackers. This guy was huge. And Bob gets right up in his face, and he says,
"Is anything going to come out of that dude?"
And the demon eventually, after a little bit of prodding from Mr. Larson, came out of that dude.
Now, does he use, I mean, these are questions I'll ask him too, but does he use props? Did he use a crucifix? Did he use holy water?
He got a little bit of oil, and he's got a Bible. A little bit of oil.
Was that for like a salad for when he works up an appetite?
You can ask Bob about the oil. The oil thing was a little beyond me. But he had a little bit of like, you know, anointing oil. Like you reach over, you
give me oil in my light.
On the forehead.
Yeah.
Like Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a Catholic thing,
right?
I think.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like Ash Wednesday.
Oil head.
You get a little of this oil on your forehead. Gets out the Bible, which is the sword of Christ, and then the next thing you know,
demons are being smited.
They're looking for ways out of the building. They don't know if they're going to go out through the rafter, the chimney, the air ducts, or what, but they're just looking to get the heck out.
So right now you're telling me that it might be a good idea to stay away from College Hill because there are many disembodied demons floating around the Taco Bell?
Not at all, because Bob tells them to go into the pit, so they're all in the pit right now.
Oh, okay, good. Because, you know, if you go to the Taco Bell across the street, you might think you got a demon in the pit of your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob Larson will be here. It's Chris and Rob on WAIF. And unless, you know, he could be into a really nasty demon.
Check this out. Bob's going to be on The Buzz tomorrow morning with Lincoln.
I think The Buzz are like co-sponsors of this thing,
aren't they? Yeah, he's going to be on The Buzz tomorrow morning with Lincoln. And what I want to know is Lincoln still going to be in the chair after Bob's done with him? Is he still going to be laughing like...
Lincoln, wait.
Is Lincoln still going to be laughing like that and is his cowardly little laugh after Bob's done with him?
It's General Kubaka, we'll the Black Fifth.
In case you just tuned in, it's the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF Radio, Cincinnati, Ohio's alternative public radio. And we're expecting to be joined shortly by Bob Larson, the world's foremost authority on the occult, demons, and the supernatural. Bob has helped thousands, not just thousands, but millions, find freedom from depression, anger, fear, sexual addictions, alcoholism, and drugs through exorcism and inner healing. There's been articles about Bob in Newsweek, Time, the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, pretty much every TV show that you can think of from 60 Minutes to Ofra and other network programs. When Bob gets here, we'll talk to him about all this and much more. You're listening to the Chris and Rob Show on WAIF. Wait! We got somebody to tell us that for us.
Give Chris and Rob a call. East of Vine Street, dial 749-1444. West of Vine Street, call 749-1444. This is WAIF.
This is Bob Larson, and I'm very pleased that you have the opportunity to listen to this special cassette featuring some of the most indelible exorcisms that I have done on the air in 15 years of broadcasting. Now, the whole idea of doing exorcisms on the air is not something that I thought up. It occurred spontaneously some years ago when a demon manifested, speaking through someone that I was talking to conversationally as part of the talk show. I had a choice. I could run from it, I could ignore it, I could explain it away, or I could deal with it on the spot. God impressed upon my heart to deal with it then and there. And since that time, there have been other instances when I have had to confront demons live on the air. Now, that isn't my preferred way of dealing with demons, but sometimes you do what you can do, when you have to do it, the best way that you can do it under the circumstances. And that's what these cases are all about. I hope you will listen to this very prayerfully. Obviously, you're not hearing the entire exorcism in any of these instances. You are only hearing brief portions. But I want this tape to give you an idea of what spiritual warfare is like when you encounter, live on the air, an actual demon.
young man called Adrian called the show and said that he had sacrificed animals, that he had drank blood, and spirits started speaking to us over the air.
What's in your mind, Adrian?
I'm really into a lot of occultic stuff.
Yeah? How old are you?
19. Believe it or not, I've been hearing you guys since 1987.
Really?
And I've been trying to call, but I couldn't get in.
Hmm. What type of occult are you into?
Like black magic.
And animals?
Sometimes.
You've killed them?
Yeah.
What have you killed?
Cats, puppies, and anything that comes my way.
Why?
For Satan.
How do you know when he wants you to do this?
Because I've invited demons in me.
Do you have them?
Yeah.
Do you know who they are?
I know one.
What's his name?
The Archangel.
The Arch, is that what he calls himself?
Yeah.
Do you want some help?
I'm really scared, and I really feel nervous.
Adrian, don't hang up. Adrian, come back to me.
Oh, no.
Adrian, come back.
No.
By the authority of Christ, get out of the way. I call Adrian back.
Shut up.
Come back, Adrian, by the authority of Christ. No, he doesn't want to go. He wants to talk to me about the love of God.
He's acting up now.
For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son.
No, he did not.
Come back if you want to come back, Adrian. It is your choice, Adrian. Adrian? Adrian? You can talk. Are you throwing up or what are you doing? Huh? Adrian?
Yeah.
Adrian? Adrian?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know who you this is Bob. You're talking to me, all right?
Bob?
Yeah.
There's a lot of puke all over.
Then God laid it on my heart to meet directly with Adrian for an exorcism confrontation, and let's take people back to the tail end of the show. It was just right at the end of the show. Adrian finally opened up. He was kind of curled up in this chair that's opposite me in this hotel room, and he began to talk about what he had been through.
I killed lambs. I killed goats. I crucified puppies, cats, pigs, drank their blood. I've seen a lot of horrible stuff happen.
Have you seen human sacrifice?
Yeah.
You saw people killed for Satan?
Yes.
Did you participate or just watch?
Both.
And those tears that are streaming out of your eyes right now, that's a broken heart, Adrian. You didn't want to kill in the name of the devil. You're not something awful like they want you to believe. You're not something unlovable. You are a wonderful young man. Adrian, how long has it been since you cried like that? Over the hurt and the sin and the pain in your life, huh?
Over.
We dealt with those demons on Wednesday as that show came to a conclusion and the spirits manifested. I mean, right at the tail end of the show. We went into 2.5 hours of very intense spiritual warfare, and at that point cast out 5 of the 7 demons, and we were all so exhausted, and Adrian particularly was so completely physically and emotionally depleted. For Adrian, it's almost inconceivable what goes on. I mean, there is this intense emotional upheaval. His body is writhing. The spirits are fighting us. I mean, we have 2 grown men, one on each arm, and they at times are unable to control him, and I'm hanging on to parts of him. And this is a very physical thing that's going on. At times, the Lord restrains him. At times, it seems that the demons rise up, and we have to physically restrain him. And then there's a lot of heavy breathing, a lot of writhing, foaming at the mouth.
Adrian?
Yeah?
Now, the demons will interfere if you let them, but don't let them.
Okay.
I want you to say, I, Adrian.
I, Adrian.
Accept.
Accept.
The.
The.
Love.
Of.
Love.
Love.
Of.
Of.
God. Say God, Adrian.
Adrian, remember I told you, with your will, you can do it.
God.
In?
In?
Christ. See, Jesus Christ. This is important because there's one inside you who calls himself Christ, but he's not Jesus Christ. Say it, Adrian, quickly.
Jesus.
Good. Say Christ. Say Christ. Say Christ.
Christ.
No, no, I want Adrian to say it, not the imposter.
Jesus Christ.
Who said that? Adrian, come back to me. Adrian, come back.
We received a call during an airing of Talk Back with Bob Larson from a voice purporting to be that of a teenage girl who said her parents were Satanists who were going to sacrifice her. Here is the initial portion of that call as it occurred on the air.
What's your situation, Rebecca?
I want to get out, and I don't know how, but I've been listening to all these people talking, and now I'm really confused.
Okay, what are you involved in?
Satanism, my mom and my dad. I killed my grandfather because they said it would give me power when I came of age.
You killed your grandfather?
Yes, and then I had to eat him. And I don't know what else to do. Can you really get out and live?
Yeah, you really can.
And I received a mark on Friday the 13th under my left breast, a pentagram, because I'm supposed to be in a ritual on the 31st. And I was going to give my life totally to Satan. Because I'll be 17 then. And even now they started preparing me for that day. And I want to get out, and I'm scared.
Now, the conversation with Rebecca, as it continued, suddenly began to manifest some unusual utterances, which you will hear shortly.
Inside of me. And they said I was bonded with the universe. And that animal would give me strength to carry out the things that I would need to know when I became of age. And then after it happened, they killed the animal and they poured his blood all over me. And then I just sat there and I kept asking why, and they would never tell me why. They said that the blood covers and protects. That's all they would tell me.
Well, Rebecca, that is a perversion of scriptural truth, because it is the blood of Christ that covers and protects us and forgives us from all sin.
You can help me?
The first thing we can do is pray for you.
Does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt.
Do I have to cut myself?
You do not have to cut yourself. In the name of our Father in heaven and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we just pray right now for the peace and comfort of God to come upon Rebecca. We bind all the powers of darkness, and I place the blood of Christ on Rebecca right now. You are bound. And Rebecca is being loosed.
What's going on?
Rebecca is being loosed by the power of Jesus Christ.
What's happening?
Don't worry, Rebecca. God is in control. Don't you worry. Who are you? Who are you?
The keeper.
The keeper? You are not the keeper.
A guardian.
Now I'm going to stop just for a moment and explain to you what you're hearing. We later learned that there is a spirit that manifests in animal form. Now this sort of thing is well known in pagan religions, where very often the shaman or the witch doctor would assume a particular animal manifestation, such as the leopard man or the lion man in African voodoo. And the sound that you're hearing is the sound of that particular spirit. Now notice that when this occurred on the air, and this is an unedited edition of that, It's not something that I sought for. It's not something that I solicited. It just happened. It occurred, and I had to deal with it. I always suggest, please don't go looking for this type of thing. If God brings it across your pathway, pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit to deal with it, but never seek it out and never solicit it. What you're about to hear now is the dialogue that ensued as spontaneously on the air that day I tried to discover what was going on.
We're not the guardian.
Who am I?
You are subject to Jesus Christ. You who call yourself keeper, is Jesus Christ Lord?
Yes.
To whom does she belong?
Right now she belongs to my master, Lucifer.
She will not continue to belong to him.
We'll do everything we can to terminate her.
You can't terminate her.
I'm sick of you.
You who call yourself the keeper, speak to me.
During this conversation, you will notice the very dramatic and abrupt change in personalities that occur from the demon speaking to the voice of the person speaking. It's as if a switch is thrown and there's an instantaneous state of oblivion that comes upon the person identifying herself as Rebecca and the spirit.
A word of explanation is in order in regards to the various personalities referred to in this exorcism. You see, the original voice that called me was that of a person identifying themselves as Rebecca, a child to be sacrificed. And then Catherine, the mother, speaks. And then there are other voices. The name Renee is used in part of this exorcism. Now, I'm not only dealing with demons in this particular case, but I'm dealing with multiple personalities. The core person, we learned later, is Renee. Rebecca and Catherine are dissociative identities, or multiple personalities in the body of Renee. They are individual identities that express different aspects of the satanic abuse and cult involvement of the person Renee.
The term keeper or guardian is one that I've encountered in similar situations before. There often is a keeper or guardian spirit, not always the most powerful demon in a person, but this is the demon that allows the open entry for other spirits to come and for those evil influences to maintain their control. The keeper or guardian is often related to the function of sin in the individual's life, or the ceremonial pact with evil committed at some time in the past that keeps open the gate or the doorway. And the guardian or keeper is literally in the spirit world standing there, being certain that no moral act of the individual and no intervention of God's people closes that door. It is the open gateway for evil to continue inhabiting that person's life. Now back to the conversation that's taking place during the show that day.
You let her go.
Why should I let her go? She belongs to me.
Not forever.
I was sent here to protect her, to guide her, and to lead her.
Jesus Christ came here to die for her.
She has not yet made that choice.
She will make that choice, and you know very well it's a miracle that she called today. It's a miracle she called today, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it?
Someone out there was praying for her.
Now, did you hear that statement? Never underestimate the power of prayer. I don't know who was interceding. Perhaps someone had a burden and didn't even realize what they were praying about, but felt compelled to seek God. It is prayer that turns back the hand of evil. It is prayer that, as Daniel in the lion's den, seals the mouth of Satan.
You're listening to Chris and Rob on WAIF.
Walk me Bye.
one of my favorite gospel tunes of all time. That's the Thorns Trio with what sounds like Reverend James Cleveland on the bass part doing Thank You, Jesus, for My Journey. You're listening to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF Radio, 88.3 FM. The bottom of your dial, you can't go no lower than us here at 88.3. The phone number is 749-1444. Rob and I would love for you to give us a call, 749-1444.
Hey, that's Greenwich the Mean Time Dog. Take a bite out of time. It's 10:31 Tuesday evening. Continue your spiritual journey on the King's Highway. Every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. until 10 a.m., gospel music and Bible quotations from your host, Minister Howard Riley, right here on WAIF 88.3 on your radio dial.
And don't be forgetting about Reverend Columbus Perkins. He's here tomorrow morning. And Reverend Columbus Perkins is the greatest.
When donating to a charity, you want to be sure that your money is going to a legitimate cause that will use your money efficiently. Get the exact name of the organization and be certain that it's not trading on the name of a better-known cause. Find out how the money is used and whether your donation will actually reach people in need. And nationally, drowning is the fourth leading cause of death to children under five. Never, ever leave your child unattended near a pool. Keep toys away from the pool area. Have a telephone poolside. And do not leave your child unattended. Also, learn CPR. A message from the Ohio Department of Public Safety. This is WAIF, Chris and Rob. And Chris,
what?
Now, you were fortunate enough, you were smart enough to get to the church this evening in time to catch Reverend Larson. I don't want to say performance, to catch his sermon,
It was a revival. It was a revival.
You caught, first of all, what was your impression of a Reverend Bob Larson when you showed up today? What were you thinking that you were going to see at the Church of College Hill on North Bend Road? When you pulled into the parking lot, what were you expecting? What did you think radio preacher, TV preacher, Reverend Evangelist Bob Larson would do? What were you expecting?
He's not as tall as I thought he was.
Okay.
In fact, I'm taller than him, and I'm a short dude.
They say that about everybody on TV.
Do they?
Yeah, you're not as tall as I thought you were.
Yeah. There was a big crowd there. I expected a bit of a crowd, but this place was slamming. Like we were saying at the beginning of the show, there was not a parking space in about a four-mile radius around the church in College Hill. Bob Larson was there tonight to have one of his spiritual warrior conferences. He calls it Spiritual Freedom Conference. And they talked about deliverance. They talked about exorcising demons.
Well, what did you think going in? What were you expecting?
Well, I've seen the videos, and I've seen when Bob walks up and grabs some dude or some girl by the head, and he'll start talking to him about, you know, going to the pit and all this.
Who's he talking to when he says going to the
demon?
Pit.
He's not talking to the person, but he gets rude. He gets kind of rude with some people. Like, if you can imagine, you're just sitting there, you know, doing your own thing, and dude comes up and grabs you by the scruff of your neck and says, go to the pit. And you know what? A lot of these demons went to the pit. They came out of these people. It was fairly upsetting to some of them. One girl started to fall on the ground. Kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Speaking in tongues? Did you hear any speaking in tongues?
I don't know if I'd know speaking in tongues if you started talking in it right now.
Well, it's, you know, it's not English. It's not French. It's not German. It's, you know, a spiritual language.
I didn't have any thought one way or the other on speaking in tongues.
You didn't hear any speaking in tongues. You would know it when you hear somebody speaking in tongues. You know it, man. You absolutely know it. How is this different from your traditional, what you're accustomed to when you go worship on Sunday morning?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't like a Catholic mass, and it wasn't even like going to the Baptist or the Presbyterian church, because there wasn't the hymns, then the announcements, then some more hymns, then some more announcements, then some hymns, then a 20-minute sermon, then some hymns, then everyone goes eats cookies. It wasn't like that at all. Not at all. In fact, it was pretty much a brief introduction, and then let's get right down to business.
And then, so it was more like a Pentecostal service.
Well, I guess. I don't think I've been to a Pentecostal church, but maybe. The first thing he says is, look inside yourself and think of the worst thing that's ever happened to you, something that's troubled you, something that's scarred your life or affected you in a great way, something that's hurt terribly. Maybe it's made you angry. Maybe it's made you hurt. Some people got a little more visibly upset than others.
Mm-hmm.
He started walking around the room, and I'd like to ask him how he chose some of the people he chose.
Well, he
started grabbing them by the head, saying, to go into the pit. And he asked him what the names of the demons were and some of the different things that you see on his TV show. He's on real late at night. He's got this TV show on, I think it's TBN. Is that Trinity Broadcasting Network? In case you just tuned in, this is the Chris and Rob Show on WAIF Radio, and we're expecting Bob Larson, best-selling author, radio and TV host, and exorcist, to stop by the station anytime.
Well, were you there, Chris, as someone looking to be healed? Did you have an open mind? Were you doing what he suggested as far as thinking about your most painful moments in your life? Or were you there as a completely objective, detached media personality, like a reporter? Were you just there to observe, or were you there, were you willing to get caught up into the spirit, get caught up into the events that were surrounding you?
Probably both, because I wanted to keep an open mind about it, but I also wanted to be an objective observer and see what's going on, think critically about it, what's happening here, and you know, how much do you take stock in it. I'd really recommend someone going and seeing themselves for themselves at tomorrow night's revival, tomorrow night's event. They're doing the same thing, probably plus some. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the church in College Hill on North Bend Avenue. They're going to do the same thing tomorrow night, and don't take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. We can take calls here. If anyone is listening, attended Bob Larson's event, his Spiritual Freedom Conference at the church in College Hill, which is Pastor Charlie Winburn's new church, give us a call here at the Chris and Rob Show right now. We have open phone lines. 749-1444 is the phone number. 749-1444.
Now, does Bob travel with a large posse?
I don't know.
Are there? Did he have a bunch of? Hey, because you mentioned a big guy who was possibly demon infested or demon possessed. You said a large guy who could be an NFL linebacker accosted poor little Bob. So does Bob
pushed him.
Does
he
Bob
pushed
have
him
muscle? Does Bob have a jilly? Does Bob have a jilly
well,
that he
no,
can call
I
on?
I think the jilly was actually some of the deacons or some of the other members of the congregation. It didn't appear as though the muscle, so to speak, the quote-unquote muscle, was brought by Bob himself. They didn't have, you know, BLM T-shirts on. They were just dudes who I think were members of the church.
So he's a courageous warrior for the wounded. He's ready to go on, take on a demon no matter who the demon jumps
he
into.
He told some girl to start hitting on him, and at first she hesitated, but then she started wailing on him. And I thought, wow, I don't, you know, at the most extreme, I can't see a huckster asking people to start hitting them.
Okay.
And he asked some girl to start hitting him.
Really?
He said, come on, come on, demon, you're feeling hate. Go ahead and hit me.
Hmm. This is the Chris and Rob Show on WAIF. 749-1444 is the phone number, and this would be Jim. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Chris and Rob.
How you doing?
We're doing fine, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You were talking about this big guy that cast a demon out of.
Yep.
Bob got him up on the stage, and had the angels and everything bind him, and nobody held him.
Right. Well, that was what eventually happened, was Bob took this big guy, I think his name was Charlie, brought him up on stage, and then after a little bit of a, I don't know what you would call it, not a scuffle, it was a one-sided scuffle, if anything, but eventually the man was healed. Bob sent the guy back to his wife, said, have a happy marriage, I've given you a new husband. What he said to the guy's wife, he says, I've given you a new husband.
Yep, that was it.
Were you at the event tonight, Jim?
Yeah, yes, I was.
Well, tell us a little bit about it from your perspective. First of all, are you a member of the church, or did you go because you heard that Bob Larson was going to be there? And second of all, what did you think of the whole event? Describe it to my co-host here, because, I'm just one opinion out of several hundred that were there tonight.
Well, I'm one of the students. I drive in there from, Claremont County. I live in Claremont County.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going. I went to school there last year, two quarters last year, and then this time. And I just wanted to learn more. I wanted to learn more about spiritual warfare and to be more active as a Christian.
Well, do you think you learned more about spiritual welfare there, Jim? Warfare? I'm sorry.
Well, I think you're right. Welfare and warfare.
Spiritual warfare?
Correct.
And you think you learned? What'd you learn?
Well,
what did you believe in? Did you believe that so many people were possessed by demons? Did you believe that a lot of alcoholism and drug abuse and child abuse and sex abuse was caused by demons?
I used to not believe it and used to not even look at it.
Do you believe that now?
Oh, of course I do. I have, in the past all couple years anyway, more involved in what you can't see and the reasons behind it.
What made you become a believer, Jim? Was it just Bob Larson?
Oh, no.
I'd
never heard of Bob Larson before until his school.
What school are you talking about?
The School of Ministry in College Hill.
Okay, that's a church.
Beg your pardon?
Yeah, the Church of College Hill, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And I've been a Christian for years.
Okay.
But in the past 6 years, I've needing to be the spiritual leader that God has called me to be and get more active in my faith. And so I just feel that this is where the direction he's leading me.
Well, Jim, do you think that someday you will be able to cast out demons?
Well, yes, I do.
And are you at that point today?
I'm a lot closer than I was yesterday.
When do you hope to be at that point? Well, how did you know that God called you to become more active in combating both physically and spiritually demons?
I had been unchurched. I had been out of the church for years. And about 6 years ago, being married and having a son, I said, we need to get back into church. And we went around different churches and everything and really didn't feel at home and finally got back into church because I wasn't being the spiritual leader that as a Christian husband is called to be. And just growing within the church, our own home church, and going to school, I went 3 years to ministry school up northwest of Dayton. And just since I've gotten back into church, the spiritual growth that I have grown myself has been phenomenal. It's been like a snowball. And I didn't happen upon this school by accident. I think that God called me there.
Well, Jim, would you recommend to all Christians and non-believers alike to go to the Church of College Hill tomorrow on North Bend Road and to check it out? Would you recommend that?
For sure.
Well, Jim, we sure appreciate your call, and good luck in your calling.
Okay, thank you very much.
Right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, WAIF Cincinnati. We're expecting Bob Larson here any minute in the studios of WAIF. And 749-1444 is the phone number, and I think I see in the window Reverend Larson has made it. He's in the studio. He's getting ready. Chris is handing him headphones. And he's here already. My goodness.
Hey, thanks for stopping down. Bob Larson has joined us here in the studio. And first off, I'm sure this isn't the kind of radio station you're used to being in. I'm sure you're used to, bottled water, leather-bound chairs, you know, that are a little plush, your own parking place, and microphones that always work.
And turntable. Do you have turntables here?
We have two turntables, a couple CD players, and a mini disc. What do you think of this? This is a good setup, isn't it?
Yeah, this is. I haven't seen anything like this in never mind.
Well, thanks for coming down. When we invited you down, I know you didn't expect these plush accommodations. But now that you're here, welcome to the program.
You're Chris and you're Rob.
Yeah, that's you got it right. How about that?
All those times you've been on the phone with us, now you can put faces to the names and the studio to it as well.
Well, I like fantasy better.
Well, that's what a lot of people say when they meet us.
Well, welcome to the show. Before we get going, I want to tell everybody how I found out about Bob. I was working in a factory when I was in college. I took a summer job in between semesters at school, and it was kind of a weird sort of Auschwitz kind of situation where they wouldn't let you talk to each other while you were working. They just said, do your work, scrape the flashing out of the insides of the pieces of plastic, so everybody started wearing headphones to work. And I got tired of listening to tapes and stuff, so I started scanning up and down the AM dial. I find Bob's radio show, and I got hooked. The first time I tuned in, he was talking about Led Zeppelin. And from there, it was all uphill, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah. 20 years worth of it.
Uh-huh. And you don't do the show anymore, do you?
I actually, after 20 years, stopped doing it in December. Yes. Mm-hmm. I just
there's too much else going on.
Well, you're on the road a lot, aren't you?
I'm on the road virtually every single week and doing a live radio show. I was carrying equipment to do remote broadcasts with me, trucking that stuff all over the country, and it just got to be too much. So I just, I'm still doing television. We have a television program, which is on Monday nights, actually. Back here at 2 a.m. in the morning, Tuesday morning. Unless you have a Sky Angel satellite, you got one of those satellite dishes, you can aim it up there on the dish network to Sky Angel and watch it at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. But anyway.
So how'd it go tonight? Was it a success, or how would you term what happened tonight?
Well, you know, before you got here, Bob, I told him all about Charlie. Remember Charlie?
Yes. Oh, I can't forget Charlie.
And, you know, I was just sitting in the audience watching Charlie. I'd like to know what you think happened when you had Charlie up there on the stage and in front of the pulpit with you. Mm-hmm. But what did you think of the event at the church in College Hill tonight?
Well, I thought it was tremendous. I mean, it was just so exciting to be in that kind of a church. I mean, that's really... That's an alive place over there. Man, what a great bunch of people. And they were just so warm and welcoming me. So I just felt free to do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. I mean, we did. And I tell you what happened. I saw Charlie toward the back. And as you know, I had already prayed for a number of people, and there had been several outbursts, like the gal who finally came flailing at me and hitting me. And I just saw this guy at the back, and I looked at him. And sometimes what'll happen is these demons will just kind of peek at me.
Yeah.
They just peek.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, when you do a revival that size, there must have been several hundred people there, if not a thousand.
There was probably in all the different rooms.
Yeah,
about
and,
that.
And as you're walking around the crowd, except for some people who are more vocal than others, how do you know who to pull out of the crowd and to work with?
Well, I look at the eyes. Jesus said the eye is the mirror of the soul. So when you look into the soul of a person, you see the real person, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If I want to see the real you, I'll look you right in the eye. So when there's a demon, you look in the eye, and then once you see it, you know what it looks like. It's just like for a second there, it's not the person looking at you. It's the other essence, the other entity inside looking at you. And sometimes when I look at them, and sometimes, you know, like the eyelid will quiver a little bit, or there'll just be a little, a microscopic reaction. But I describe it's like a little kid peeking around the corner. It's like those demons, mm-hmm. they can't resist taking a peek at you. So I walked back there, and this thing just sort of looked at me. And it was a look that could kill. You know, people say, he had looks that would kill.
Well, that guy Charlie, he was intimidating, not just... By his size.
He was big. He was solid muscle. That guy was solid muscle, let me tell you.
Before you got here, I was saying the guy must have been 6.5 feet tall. He could have been a linebacker for a good football team.
He was big. He was big. I don't know what God always sends me big
ones. On your tiptoes, you were looking in his chin.
Yeah. So I saw that thing look at me, and it was a look of just unmitigated, unferreted hate. I mean, it was just total hate. And I knew that thing was down there. And so you know, for the people who weren't there, it was just a matter of then, how do we get this thing out? What is the root of it? And, you know, Channel 9, which is doing a report about 15 minutes on us, the reporter asked me, how do you know? And I say, the demons are in the suffering. They're in the pain. And, I mean, that's where the devil is. The devil loves pain, misery, suffering, the violation of innocence. So I looked for his pain, and he admitted that he had been molested as a child.
I remember that.
Yeah, and at 9 years of age, and...
A little gasp went through the room. Everyone was a little shocked by that.
And he wanted a part of him. That's the other key. We often go for what we call dissociative states. A dissociative state is, you know, sometimes they're very distinct multiple personalities, but they are states of consciousness which split off and hold emotions which are different from what are perceived to be the dominant emotions of the individual that we know or relate to most of the time. They're hidden emotions. They're locked away in another part. And there was what I called angry Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Charles. Angry Charles. And angry... You know, here, Charles is trying to be a nice, Christian, good, upstanding citizen. But angry Charles wanted to kill.
Yeah.
So was angry Charles a part of Charles ever since the age of 9 when he was first molested? Or when did When did angry Charles enter into regular old good old Charles?
Well, he didn't enter. He split off or became part of or actually was a separate part of the consciousness of Charles. So, yes, when he was molested at 9, angry Charles embodied all the feelings of getting even. I mean, basically, wanting to murder this man. Find him, kill him, waste him. And think about it, obsess on it. And we often find this. And so that's where the devil is. The devil is in the embodiment of that hate in the angry part of the person.
So we talk about, you hear some diseases, you can get the disease and it won't actually manifest itself and you won't show any symptoms for months or decades later. Can it happen that way with a demon entering you? Can you carry a demon around with you and nobody even know for a month or a two or a couple years even?
You got it. In fact, there are people listening to us now who have demons who don't know they have a demon. They don't have a clue. But I say to them, first of all, come to the meeting tomorrow night and we'll try to get some help for you.
Yeah, where is that meeting, Chris? We got the exact title and everything right now.
The Church in College Hill, 2129 North Bend Road, which is easy to find. You know, I don't get on the west side that often. You just head up Hamilton Avenue and turn left at Kroger's by the Wigwam, and it's a couple blocks up.
And we're talking to Reverend Bob Larson on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, WAIF.
By the way, we're taking calls. We've got one caller on hold. We can take more calls at 749-1444. That's the phone number here, 749-1444. And again, Bob, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you stop down the studio. And I've been listening to you since I was 19.
Oh man,
this is something.
And you're not that old yet.
No, I'm not.
Well, I appreciate it. I've actually done this with you guys a couple of times here and there, but you never kept me up this late. It was always, you know, I was out in somewhere in the mountain time zone.
With the time difference out in Colorado, we were talking to you at 2 o'clock in the morning. You just didn't know how late it was.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go to the phones real quick, and then we'll open some more phone lines up. We have Phil on hold, and then you can call at 749-1444. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
What's on your mind tonight, Phil, and welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing? I just calling to talk to Bob. It has a lot to do with some things going on in my family. It has to do with my aunt. Her name's Darlene. And for years now, she's been bound by an act of her own will and by things that's happened to her over her life. She was molested as a child. And there's actually one other thing I'd like to talk to Bob about besides that. And
can we stay on that one just for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, this is an aunt?
Yeah.
Who was molested as a child?
Yeah,
is she getting any therapy, counseling, help, anything for it?
No, she's never had any help or counseling for it at all.
See, this is Phil. This is what somebody's got to get to your aunt and say. She's got to get some therapy, counseling, help. She probably needs an exorcism.
But
at the very least, she's got to deal with those emotions and get down to the root of the tragedy. And get in touch with the feelings that were there at the time. See, that's when we do an exorcism. That's what we try to get people to do.
Yeah, my wife went down to see you tonight in College Hill, her and my mother-in-law.
Okay.
And I was just thinking about my aunt, and I'm actually coming tomorrow to College Hill.
Get your aunt there.
I'm going to try my best, and that's the reason I want to pray, to cancel all Satan's blocks and anything he might try to do to hinder her from coming.
Okay, great.
And also, too, you know, there's some things in my life I'd like to talk about maybe tomorrow if we get a chance.
All right.
Hopefully.
Okay.
But my aunt, she's involved in the witchcraft right now, really heavy, and she has been for a long time. She calls it white witchcraft. She's totally blinded by it. And she laughs because we're taking her to Benny Hinn's crusade at the end of this month. And she laughs about it. And she said that she feels real weird about going, and she knows that she knows she's possessed, Bob. It's just like she's holding on to it by her act of her own will.
Well,
my brother-in-law actually prayed for her, and she threw up after we prayed for her. And
well, now, let me explain something to you that's real important to understand. I understand why you said what you said. She is, by her own will, hanging on to it. But in fact, what we find in cases like this is it's not a matter that people want to keep the evil inside them. But often, as in the case of Charles and, mm-hmm. and your aunt, mm-hmm. there's probably what we call a wounded inner child inside.
Right.
And that's the part of them that was molested or tormented in some way. That's the part of them that does not want to let go of the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, no matter how you try to talk sense to the outward person, mm-hmm. that other person inside, unless you get to them, mm-hmm. they're not going to get free, like we were talking about tonight. I had to get to angry Charlie, to angry Charlie, the angry part of him mm-hmm. that was totally opposed to anything Charlie, everybody else knew, wanted to do with, that was right.
Right.
Okay, well, let me know if you get there tomorrow night, Phil.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Phil.
Thank you.
We've got open phone lines at the Chris and Rob Show. You're listening to WAIF Radio, Cincinnati, Ohio's alternative public radio, and the phone number is 749-1444. We're joined by Bob Larson in the studio, and you can see Bob Larson tomorrow at the church in College Hill at 7 o'clock p.m. That's Charlie Winburn's new church. You know, he used to be city council member. He used to run mm-hmm. for council all the time. We used to give him a real hard time here on the show.
Never did that. Don't remember that at all.
But the church
never bothered politicians ever on this show.
No, we never did. The church in College Hill, 2129 North Bend Road. You can call them at 681-3340 if you need any clarification. And you also have events scheduled in Columbus and Indianapolis the next couple days.
Yes, we're going to be. Oh, I can't think. The Radisson Hotel.
Yeah, you don't have to think. We got your card.
Oh, there,
we
got the
we
card.
We got all the stuff here.
Look at that.
Radisson Hotel, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, and then Friday night at the Adams Mark Hotel in Indianapolis. We're going to go cast out some more demons in Columbus and Indianapolis.
When you were talking to Phil, you mentioned counseling. Do you, as a Christian, do you believe in psychology and psychiatry, or do you believe that people who have mental disabilities and mental problems, they probably need an exorcism more than they need a psychologist?
No. I certainly do believe in psychiatrists and psychologists, mental health professionals. We train some psychologists and psychiatrists to do exorcisms. We have what we call Do What Jesus Did teams, which are exorcism teams, and we have many psychiatrists and medical doctors and psychologists on our teams, and we train them. We believe the two should go hand in hand. Some people don't need an exorcist. They only need a psychologist. Some people need a psychologist and an exorcist. What mental health professionals help you to do is identify your issues, and that's great. And if they can get to a counselor to identify their issue before they get to me, half the battle is won. The problem is that most professionals in the realm of the mental health sciences don't know about exorcism or don't believe in it. And so they can tell you what your problem is, but they can't fix you. If your problem is just a mental problem, they can fix you. If your problem is a mental and emotional problem plus a demon, then they can't fix you. So that's when, who are you going to call?
You.
Okay.
Demon busters.
Call the exorcist. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, I'm very serious all about right. it. Find somebody who knows how to do that. Priest, a pastor, somebody who's had some experience.
We can go back to the phones here in a second. If you just tuned in, we're talking to Bob Larson on the Chris and Rob Show. Check out more about Bob Larson at his website. I think it's just boblarson.org, right?
BobLarson.org.
Well, bless you for making it easy. Because there's nothing worse than being on the radio.
No tildes, man.
For your audience, we have to make it easy.
That's right. You got to dumb it down a little bit. Hit the button, Rob. We'll talk to Carol now. Carol, welcome to the program.
Yes. Is this Mr. Bob Larson?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Larson. I was unable to come this evening, but I was calling. I feel I have a deliverance problem with allergies and all kinds of physical things, Raynaud's, I feel the cold. I go back and forth to Hawaii. I just got back from Hawaii a month ago, and I'm unable to function here in the city.
Hold on a second, Carol. What Raynaud's? What's a Raynaud?
Raynaud's is where the blood vessels constrict. And the.
Well, are you under the care of a doctor?
The doctor suggested I move to a warm climate or Hawaii to take care of it.
What do you see, like an 1880s doctor treating Doc Holliday, move to a warm climate?
Well, that's what he suggested.
Okay.
There isn't a cure for it.
So why have you come back to Cincinnati? If I had a choice, Cincinnati and Hawaii, this would not be a toss-up.
It wouldn't be a toss-up. It's very expensive there.
Oh, well, okay, that's true.
And job-wise, since 911, it's been very difficult. I have a home care nursing background.
Okay.
And I wondered if through the Holy Spirit you felt there could be deliverance. There's been third generation of allergies.
Well, let me just mention, sometimes physical problems are generational and they are passed on, but sometimes they're congenital, too. And just because the doctors haven't found an answer doesn't mean there isn't a medical answer. But on the other hand, yes, sometimes demons do afflict people physically. But, you know, in a phone conversation, I can't tell that. I don't know that. But you certainly have nothing to lose by getting, you know, spiritual prayer for it. And see if you know there's anything spiritual about it. I don't know, and I don't want to venture any type of a guess.
Oh, so you're not going to pray with me?
Well, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. I'm just saying that if you're asking me to make a determinative diagnosis, I can't do that.
No, I know what the problem is.
Okay.
The doctors can't help.